This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, like John, help our prayer to be that we must decrease and you must increase. Amen. Amen. There is a rather famous writer for TV shows that goes back to the age of Jack Parr, and he wrote a humorous sort of autobiographical book, and he entitled it My Brother Was an Only Child. Sort of speaking to the way in which he thought his particular situation within the family was. When we look at James, especially in relationship to his brother John today, perhaps that would be the title of James's book. We need to look into this gospel today. Now, last week's gospel, again, they did it to us. I don't know who we put on these committees to determine the readings that we use, but we ended last week with verse 31, and we skip three of the verses again before we get into the gospel that Mary just read. And to understand this entire story, we really need those other particular verses. So I'm going to read them to you, starting with verse 32. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." Now think of that as the backdrop before James and John pop the question to Jesus. "Jesus, we want to sit with you on your right and your left when you come into your glory." Wow. This is the third time in a short period of chapters in Mark's gospel when Jesus tells them very plainly what is to happen. In Mark 8 and Mark 9, and now repeated in Mark 10, is the same. And James and John and the rest of them don't get it. I don't think those other disciples got mad because of James and John asking such a question. I think they got mad because they asked the question first and they were going to get the priority. And Jesus tries to center them once again. This journey to Jerusalem, as Jesus continues to get more and more focused, becomes for us sort of an image of our own spiritual journey, and that there is a continual need for each one of us to focus more and more and better and better. The famous pilgrimage walk that I was privileged on sabbatical to do part of, at least with Dee, is that Santiago de Compostela, St. James of Compostela walk. And whenever I do that, I go to the other pilgrimage experiences that I've been able to have in my life. And the one that continues to have a lasting impact on me was that Shikoku pilgrimage we did in Japan. Yes, it is a Buddhist pilgrimage, but it is one that is coming more and more into the understanding of significance for Christians, because there is so much commonality that we have in our approach to God. And on that particular pilgrimage, there are four sections of it. We weren't able to do the whole thing, but there are 88 temples. It's about a 750-mile walk if you do the whole thing. And it's divided up into sections that sort of symbolize our spiritual journey. The first section is awareness, and you start in the northeast part of the island. Then you go to the southeast part, and that is the stage of involvement or ascetical training. It's also the most difficult part of the walking. And then you go to the third section of enlightenment, and the fourth section of the pilgrimage, and last is nirvana. But the way it is constructed is that when you end, you are right back where you started. And it's a very important point that is made, that our spiritual journey is never done. That we've had this awareness, we have this involvement, we have this commitment, and we have this sort of ownership. But then we have to go back and start again and dig deeper. And this is the call that each of us have. And this is what Jesus is doing with these disciples. They are now at the third iteration of this speech, and they still don't get it. James and John, the sons of thunder. Now, James had to be an important character because he's mentioned in the Gospels along with his brother in many times about significant events that the other apostles are not a part of. They were able to behold Jesus' transfiguration. They were able to be called in and witness the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. They were there for the raising of the daughter of Jairus. And they were called to pray with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his death. So there is something that's very special about their sort of rank order here with the disciples. But I would venture to say that perhaps when we consider these two characters and personalities of James and John, it was probably a little bit more difficult for James. Now, we all know John, the beloved disciple. His brother is James. Did lots of wonderful things, but not quite at that relationship with Jesus that perhaps he would like to have had. They both have ambition. It's illustrated in what they do today. Their temper is illustrated. If you remember, they go into that Samaritan village at one time, and they don't get hospitality, and the two of them say, "Jesus, let's rain down thunder upon this town and wipe it out." How silly is that? But there's temper, there's ambition, there's drive. And the important thing for us to take away from that is that all of those passions that are deep-rooted within us aren't necessarily bad as long as they can be channeled for good in the right way. Jesus must have seen that in both of them. They were his cousins, so he knew them. And he must have seen that this passion they had would need a lot of mentoring and training. but it was something that Jesus wanted to work with them on, as he continues to do in today's gospel. So the one takeaway for us is there's always room for growth. There's always the possibility of transformation and change for each one of us. When we think about ourselves, God doesn't give up on them. He doesn't give up on us. There's always a chance for transformation and growth, no matter where we find ourselves on the journey. And the challenge becomes remembering that it's the same for everyone else. Jesus doesn't give up on others trying to be on the journey, so neither should we. This whole idea of servant leadership, servant ministry that Jesus is talking about today is so important for us to channel that passion and to use it for good. Blessed are the meek. Remember, that is in the Beatitudes. We talked about what it truly means to be meek. It's the same root word as a bridled horse. The idea being, there is tremendous power, there is tremendous energy, but it needs to be channeled. Meek does not mean weak. Meek means passion that is channeled. And it becomes important for us as we go through each iteration of this pilgrimage journey, which we are all on, to remember that. It becomes so important, this concept, that none of us get it right all the time, such that one of the most famous books in recent spiritual writing is written by Henry Nouwen. It's called The Wounded Healer. That only those of us who can face up to our own wounded condition can be available for healing, and so enter into a new way of living. James Thompson, a scriptural commentator, when he is reflecting on this passage, writes this, and I quote, "Jesus' vision of servant leadership is a powerful antidote to common notions that equate servanthood with lowly status and leadership, with the ability to attain markers of success, such as material acquisitions, prestige, and managerial or political power over others. We often fail to keep in view the proper object of our striving. Indeed, we frequently confuse the purposes and goal of our cause with our hope for personal success. Subsequently, even our best thoughts and actions tend to be tainted with vanity and ambition." For Jesus and for us, it becomes this continued importance of a willingness to let God channel us so that all that we do and all that we are is truly in accord with Jesus' ultimate goal. That it's not about success. One of the things that I torment myself with now, as we have gone through this pandemic for so long, did we truly train you and give you the proper tools to get through this? It calls me to look at what we try to do here with and for everyone. Certainly, I think we have got it right with a renewed and expanded effort to reach out to those in need, which has been an incredible thing we have done through this church's ministry. But perhaps, perhaps I and this leadership has failed you in some way with enabling you to have those tools that will continue to enable you to go deeper. I pray every day that God will give us the wisdom and discernment to find the ways to know what God is calling us to next. We don't know what the future will call each of us to. But to help you to remain focused on the mission and mission that God has for us now is most important. Maybe we've been counting the wrong things. It's not about the revenue that we get. It's not about the number of people we have sitting in these pews. It's about each of our lives being transformed to a deeper and deeper commitment to Jesus. James and John. James, the first one who gave his life and was martyred for the faith. John, tradition has it that he lived to be almost 100 years old and died a peaceful death in Ephesus. Whichever martyrdom we might be called to, it begins with us having the tools to live truly in the kingdom in the present so that we are ready for whatever we are called to do. William Barclay, the great scriptural writer, when he's commenting on Matthew's version of this particular gospel, talks about a Roman coin that they found. And on the coin, there is a picture of an ox. And next to the ox is an altar of sacrifice burning. And on the other side is a plow, symbolic of red martyrdom, dying in sacrificial life, or working every day for the rest of our lives for the sake of the kingdom. And the words that are on the coin say this: ready for either. We are called, like James and John, as Jesus continues not to give up on us, to be ready for whatever it is. May we look for the tools that we might be able to take the cup he calls us to take up, whatever it might be. I want to end today with a litany of a prayer that has been very special to me over the years. And oddly enough, with this theme of meekness and humility, it's often been attributed to someone in the Roman Catholic tradition called Cardinal Mary Duval. But they have discovered that he just took it from somebody else who wrote it before then. But it is called a litany of humility. And as I look at this prayer, perhaps it can be a call to me and to all of us to look for the ways where God might be calling us to make it not so much about what I want, but what God wants and what I correspondingly need. O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me. From the desire of being loved, deliver me. From the desire of being extolled, deliver me. From the desire of being honored, deliver me. From the desire of being praised, deliver me. From the desire of being preferred to others, deliver me. From the desire of being consulted, deliver me. From the desire of being approved, deliver me. From the fear of being humiliated, deliver me. From the fear of being despised, deliver me. From the fear of suffering rebukes, deliver me. From the fear of being forgotten, deliver me. From the fear of being ridiculed, deliver me. From the fear of being wronged, deliver me. That others may be loved more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be esteemed more than I, that in the opinion of the world others may increase and I may decrease, that others may be chosen and I set aside, that others may be praised and I unnoticed, that others may be preferred to me in everything, that others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should. Jesus, grant me the desire to desire that. Amen.